What I'd like to do is start with you, Michael Heiser, just to give us your opening remarks on your impressions of intelligent design. Then we'll go to you, Stan, you, Richard, then we'll start the roundtable discussion.
Well, I accept intelligent design as a theory. I think during the discussion tonight, we ought to be clear as to what intelligent design means, what it doesn't mean, what it can coexist with, and what it can't. That often isn't very easy because a lot of the listeners will just have sprinklings of the media perception on this. But if we're talking about the origin of the universe, I'm a theist. I believe in a personal God and that you need a creator, a first cause. Even if we adopt a view like James Gardner has popularized, like the selfish biocosm, mm-hmm. where you have universes burping other universes into existence, you either still have, you have the question of, well, where'd the first one come from? Where'd the parent universe come from? And you got to make a choice between an infinite regress or God. And so I think it really goes back to a fundamental question like that.
Okay, how about you, Stan Tannen? Why don't you give us your thoughts on intelligent design?
Well, I do not subscribe to intelligent design. I don't think it's a scientific theory because it's not falsifiable. It's a belief system. I wouldn't diss it, even though I don't think it's positive. It doesn't smell good to me unless I had a better alternative, which I'd like to talk about. I don't believe you can use statistics to determine probability unless there are pre-stated theories that are being tested. I don't think it's difficult to explain how multiple simultaneous mutations could occur. What I'm focused on is geometry, and my approach has been to take the traditional teachings about the Hebrew Bible seriously. And these include teachings that the primary meaning is at the letter level and not in the stories. That the stories are essential, but they are the vessel that carries the deeper meaning.
Okay, I'm glad you're part of the panel as well, Stan, because each of you brings a different perspective to this. And, of course, Richard, let's get your take on this.
Well, I began thinking seriously about this whole intelligent design discussion when many years ago, when I was in Berkeley, Freeman Dyson, who's a very famous physicist, he's a world-class thinker, he is known for some remarkable independent thinking in a variety of fields. For instance, he is the guy who proposed back in the 1960s that we actually harness atomic bombs in rockets in a spaceship concept called Orion, and presented that to the Kennedy administration when they were thinking of just simply going to the moon. He was talking about sending human crews to Saturn in the next 10 years by 1970. And the idea of putting a human being on top of a vehicle propelled by a series of atomic bomb explosions out the back end was gargantuan, but there actually was a lot of engineering done and test models using C4 and dynamite, not atomic explosives, were actually built, and it was shown that the whole concept would actually work. It was killed because of the test ban treaty. Well, Freeman Dyson, when he came to Berkeley, probably when I was there in the early 80s, late 70s, early 80s, he gave a lecture at the university, and he was the first really serious scientist that I heard stand up in a public forum and say that evolutionary theory, microbiological evolutionary theory, simply could not work, that there was not enough time, that there were so many imponderables in the linkages of this random mutation and that random mutation, that you'd run out of time in the lifetime of the universe, which back then was calculated to be about 20 billion years. It's down to about 13 billion and change now from the new Hubble data. So it was Freeman Dyson many, many years ago that got me seriously looking at the problem, but it wasn't until the last few years that I came up with some ideas that I hope are original, and we brought up a few of those at the conference of the University of Wisconsin a couple of years ago that Mike and I were part of, and I'm going to discuss those in some depth tonight, and we will all have a fascinating time.
Okay, and all of you feel free, though I may direct a question to one of you. All of you feel free to jump in when that person's had an opportunity to respond to it. Almost as if we're all sitting down at a dinner table having a grand old time. What's for dinner, by the way, Richard?
Well, Robin just baked an amazing pumpkin pie, but I can't share it with anybody. But
I wish.
That's such a shame.
Why?
Eat kosher or veggie, please.
Why is it that this story today coming out of Kansas is so controversial that because they want to teach intelligent design along with evolution, maybe minimizing evolution because they've been teaching it for years, why is it so controversial? Michael?
Well, I think, you know, we have this tradition of separation of church and state, which, you know, unfortunately gets interpreted as separation of church from the state and vice versa, which, you know, just there's a real historical disconnect in our, you know, in American tradition there. But I think people just really want to shy away from religion because they think that that's what the First Amendment means. But then there are others that just want to really just do away with the idea of an individual creator, and specifically something in the Judeo-Christian tradition, because if you embrace that, if you admit to that, then there's lots of baggage that comes along with it that they don't like. Things like concepts like absolute truth and, you know, absolute morals and things like that, that people just, you know, essentially feel cramped under those conditions. And so, you know, there's those. Then there are those who really think that the Bible and science are separate entities, and, you know, the reasons for that are different. So I think, you know, people consider it controversial, just, you know, don't want to touch it, or just want, you know, one outcome versus another, you know, for any of those reasons, and I'm sure a few others too.
Is there a fear factor here, Stan Tenen, that they just want to shy away from this?
Well, I think different people have different motives and different concerns. I believe it's essential for the survival and integrity of our various religious traditions that there be an absolute wall between the state and religious teachings. I think that's for the protection of the religious teachings, not for the protection of the state.
So you don't agree with what the school board in Kansas City, the state board, has voted on?
Well, I think these are uneducated people making decisions that they shouldn't be making. We do not ask. I happen to have a very fine garage mechanic for my car. I swear by the guy. But if, God forbid, I had a brain tumor, I would go to a brain surgeon. I wouldn't ask my garage mechanic to make decisions on that.